I'm going to ask you to remain standing just for a couple more moments, if you would. Today, on this Memorial Day weekend, we're going to remember those who died defending our country. These courageous soldiers gave their lives for what I believe is still the greatest country on the face of the earth, the United States of America. And though many in our country have chosen to put down our flag, mistreat it, burn it, refuse to fly it, the least we can do to honor those who have fallen, died for freedom's sake, is to fly it proudly. And this, despite our country's weaknesses, failings, and mistakes. Because though with almost anything in our world there is error and fault, when it comes to America, there's also honor, courage, and strength. This is an excerpt from a message in 1971 on Memorial Day by Billy Graham. He said, "I stood by the bedside of a boy in Korea whose spine had been torn away by a shell blast the night before. But by some miracle, he was still living. He was unable to change his position, and if he lived, the doctor informed me the rest of his days would be spent lying on his stomach." The Army medics had patched him up the best they could. I gripped his cold, perspiring hand and said words of comfort to him. He made a statement I will never forget. He said, "It was worth it if it will keep America free." Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." That's John 15:13. The very fact that those who chastise our country can do so without imprisonment is a testimony to the fact that the sacrifices of American men and women were not in vain, and that we can openly profess our faith in Jesus Christ and meet publicly without fear of persecution causes us to pause and remember and honor those who have fallen for our freedom. And I would like us just to take a few moments of silence and remember those who have given all for our freedom. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. So this weekend is a day of remembrance, and so I've entitled all of today, Remember. And why is remembrance especially important in these days? So many of our young people and others really aren't informed about the history of our country in many ways, and there were great wars that cost thousands of American lives, that we in other countries could be free and to live how we wish. This is a portion from the Declaration of Independence in 1776. This should be pretty familiar to most of us. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." So, really, most people in this country would agree with these statements, I believe. Unfortunately, people, for various reasons, can be deceived into thinking and acting in error. When lacking information that is complete and total, what they set out to do may seem right, and it may seem good, but can end up being full of hate, pride, ignorance, and folly. And these characteristics come from the enemy of our souls, Satan. He can oftentimes deceive good and well-meaning people. Sometimes the very thing they want to fight for, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, can end up with hate for everyone who doesn't believe in the way that they do. And I think most recently of the Palestinian and Israeli conflict I'm going to go there today just a little bit. And by the way, this is not a new conflict. For many people, they might think that it is. It is not. I'm going to give a little bit of history there. The whole Palestinian issue boils down to this. Abraham was the father of the Jewish people. And God promised and preached the gospel to Abraham and said to Abraham, through your seed, singular, the whole world will be blessed. Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. The blessing through your seed. Well, that means that the seed from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will receive the blessing. Isaac was the promised child. There was another child named Ishmael. Now, Ishmael was an illegitimate child because Abraham became impatient. Sarah said, hey, why don't you go in with my maidservant Hagar and help God out a little bit here. So Abraham went with Hagar and they had Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the promised child. That promised child came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God still loved Ishmael because God so loves the world. But the promise, the Messiah, was going to come through Isaac. So God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to go to the north in Lebanon, look to the south in Egypt, the Nile River, go to the east where the Euphrates runs through Iraq, all the way to the Mediterranean. As far as your eye can see, I give you this land, you and your descendants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants and their descendants. This is the only piece of land in history that God gave to somebody. God says, I give it to you as an everlasting covenant. So what's the big conflict between the Palestinians and the Jews in the promised land? It boils down to this one thing. Satan knows that if he can get the land that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for an everlasting covenant, if he can get that land, then he will make God a liar. Another interesting fact, did you realize that the word Palestinian comes from the word Philistines? Kind of ties in a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah, so there are many people today that are rising up to protect the Palestinians. And now look, we as Christians who have an affinity toward the Jews, I hope that you do, because God commands for us to bless the Jewish people and to bless the nation of Israel. And but, you know, we too can easily let hate come into our lives. It isn't just somebody else. That can happen to any one of us. Wanting to protect innocent people from violence can be an honorable pursuit. But when you ignore the fact, yes, I'm going to go there today, that the terrorist group Hamas has brazenly murdered, raped, and pillaged hundreds, if not thousands, of Israelis in recent days, people can find themselves on the wrong side of history. Suddenly blaming all Jews for any action Israelis have taken in defense of their country, while expecting other people to accept all Palestinians. So I would like to repeat this portion of the Declaration of Independence. I'm going to read it again. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All people are created equal, not just the Jews, not just the Palestinians, not just Britain, not just African Americans, not just Asians, not just Hispanics, and any other people group that you might want to come up with. And again, though most people would agree with this statement, there's an evil deception that begins to infiltrate our society, and it can affect us personally. This deception is to hate others. And the Bible says that this comes from Satan and his dark spiritual forces. Isn't it interesting when you start with something that seems good and loving, you think you're being loving, and yet Satan can deceive us Next thing we know, we're actually going from love to hate. Okay? I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. Ephesians 6, 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." 2 Corinthians 11:14. This is interesting. "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." So there's evil spiritual forces causing confusion, hate, and deception in our world. And oftentimes on the outside, it can seem good and truthful when the matter is actually full of deception. And it's always been that way, and it still is today. But God has called us to battle in the spirit against the forces of evil. Part of our weapon against the devil, against deception, is to remember the words of Jesus, remember the words of the apostles who remember the words of Jesus, okay? And then, of course, in the Old Testament, which is going to bring real truth to your life. And one thing that Jesus told us to remember to do is to receive communion regularly. And that's what we're going to do right now. This is my first point this morning, is to remember the sacrifice of Christ. And so if you would take your elements, the tricky little elements, as we all know. Make sure you're lifting up the top portion there. Yes. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. This is the Apostle Paul. He's speaking about what Jesus said, okay? Speaking about what Jesus said. And if anybody needs, I believe we have ushers back there ready to roll. If you need some communion, then raise your hand, and we've got a couple down here. We've got a couple, yes, wonderful young ladies down front. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll wait just a few moments for everybody. I've always loved communion, and here's why I love communion, because it's just a time when you stop and remember. And if Jesus has done anything in your life, you're going to love communion because you're going to think about his sacrifice, and that's what we're doing. And that means the sacrifice he made for you. Okay. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to remember his body that was bruised for us in a terrible, terrible way. And we remember the sacrifice that he made for us. So let us partake of the bread. Thank you, Lord. We remember you. And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's remember that shed blood that Jesus gave for us. He gave it for you and me. And so as we drink this juice representing his blood, we remember the sacrifice that we could live again. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So I have five more that I want to give you today, and I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. So stay with me if you're taking notes. First one is remember the sacrifice of Christ. The second one is remember to pray. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So being watchful means don't forget, okay? It means remember, be diligent to pray. Don't forget to pray. The word says to pray consistently, steadfastly, okay? And it will help us not to be deceived. If you don't want to be deceived in these days, and the devil, as you know, goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and it's usually in deception, turning truth into a lie, okay? We don't want to be deceived in these days. We want to know the truth. We want to be able to see the truth. This is another way that we're going to do that is through prayer. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Number three, remember to love your neighbor. Seems like a simple one, right? This is 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So loving other people can be, you know, really hard sometimes. But if we love as God loves us, it's going to keep us from being deceived. Because if you're loving, you're not hating, right? When the Bible speaks of love in 1 Corinthians, it says that love conquers all. And there's no defense against it. So we have to be sure to remember to love. And that's how you can know that you're born of God. You think, maybe some of you think, well, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I accepted Christ into my life. I hope that you know. But if you feel like, well, I'm not sure, are you loving people? That's one of the hallmarks of a believer, and even people that are hard to love, okay? It's truth, and it's going to help you from the deception of hating people. When I say this, it almost sounds like, well, I don't hate anybody. But see, when we don't choose to love and we only see maybe what's right in front of us, what I'm trying to say is that the craziest thing that the devil will do is he will cause you to begin to not like other people, and it goes from that to hate. We see it all the time. Hopefully that's not you. But we see it on television all the time. And people are just full of hate. But if you were to ask them, they probably wouldn't say that. They probably wouldn't say, no, I don't hate. But they've grown and grown to be that way. And that's deception. And that's what we're talking about today. Number four is to remember to love your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So when the Spirit of God is helping you to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, through everything, you are allowing God to direct you to the truth. It's going to help you keep from deception. And deception toward others can look all different kinds of ways. But when we don't forgive other people, we're being deceived. You know why we're being deceived? Because the truth is that forgiveness brings healing. It's just hard sometimes. I know I've got this flag here. I keep thinking of these people over here. I'll try to step back and forth here for you. Forgiveness brings healing, and it's not always an easy thing. But the deception comes in allowing bitterness to come, which can lead to hate. And because, friends, forgiveness sometimes is hard. So you've heard me say this a lot of times over the years, many of you have. This is something I learned a long time ago, that is to forgive easily. Make that a practice in your life. Forgive easily. Somebody does something a different way than you would do it, forgive easily. Because it's only going to hurt you. And everybody's different. Everybody does things in a different way. Somebody says something to you that's a little crass, maybe something that's a little harsh. It might hurt. I just want to say to you, forgive easily. Forgive easily. That's what God would want you to do. And you'd be amazed at the effect that that will have on other people as time goes on. This is something that over time you're going to see the effects on other people around you when you forgive easily. The deception is when you don't forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? I could really go on a rabbit trail with the church because I love the church, and I think that being in church is the healthiest thing you can do because it's not easy all the time. Because we're all, you know, hey, we're people. We're messed up, every one of us. Every one of us is messed up in some way, okay? And if you learn how to get along with everybody through it all, I mean through everything, hey, you're going to grow, and so are people around you. And you're going to become an incredible person. The church is awesome. I love it. Okay. Enough of that. Number five, remember the deliverances of the past. I love this one. Then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This is in Deuteronomy, way back in Deuteronomy. So God delivered the children of Israel from slavery. But because they often did not purposely remember what he did and remember his deliverances, you know, it seems like the parting of the Red Sea would be a pretty big one. you know, it'd be hard to forget that, you would think. But they seem to do that. And they repeatedly would go back to idols and to a sinful lifestyle. So we too must remember what God has done in our lives. When difficult times come, remember what God has done. Remember what he's done. How many people, and this is, I'm not trying to shame anybody. If God has changed your life, simple as that, in whatever way it is, raise your hand. God has changed your life. Okay? God has changed your life. Okay. Some of you did not raise your hand, but you know what? That's okay because I'm glad you're here today. Because God can change your life. He's incredible. He's alive today, and he wants you to know him personally. He wants you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because he will change your life. I know he changed mine. Okay. We have to remember what God has done in our lives. All right, the last one I'm going to say today, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on. This is, remember to be thankful for freedom in Christ. We're celebrating freedom today of those who have given their lives for this country. But I'm going to talk about something that's deeper than that. And there is something that's even deeper than that. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So I'd like to say something about freedom. In the world we live in, there are evil people trying to take away freedom. There has always been this. People trying to take other people's freedom away. And there's times that we do need to fight for it. Not just for ourselves, but for all humanity, so that everybody can live in peace. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yeah. Yeah. But beyond that kind of physical freedom, which is incredible and something that we're enjoying as we sit here today, there's a freedom that comes in knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. I will never forget that feeling. I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know it was a thing. I accepted Christ into my life at the age of 21. As many of you know, I was a wild rocker. And everything to do with rock and roll, all of it, anything you could think of, I probably did it on numerous occasions. But I can tell you, I did not know that when I accepted Christ into my life, that I would have this total sense of freedom. I literally thought I was a foot off the ground. And you think, well, what? Free from what? Free from the expectations of other people that I didn't even realize had weighed me down. Shame in my life that I didn't realize had weighed me down. Sin in my life. Confusion. Heartache. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, no matter our circumstances, there is freedom. And in extreme times, that freedom can be tested. I want to talk about a lady that many of you have heard of who made an incredible impact on the world, but only through extreme trial. And her name was Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker, but she's not really remembered for making watches. She did a lot more than that in her life. She was later a Christian writer and a public speaker who worked with her father, Casper ten Boom, her sister, Betsy ten Boom, and other family members, and they helped many Jewish people escape from the Nazis during the Holocaust in World War II by hiding them in her home. They were caught. She was arrested and sent to the Ravensbrück, excuse me if my pronunciation is not correct there, concentration camp. Her most famous book, The Hiding Place, is a biography that recounts the story of her family's efforts and how she found and shared hope in God while she was imprisoned at the concentration camp. There's also a wonderful movie that was made about this that was very accurate and called The Hiding Place. And I encourage you, if you can find it, to watch it. You will be inspired. And I was looking at a site. It's called Short Form Books. This is some of what it said. It said, Corrie and Betsy were assigned to a work detail in the Siemens factory, where they were forced to unload heavy metal plates from the railroad depot and transport them inside the factory. Their only meal during the grueling 11-hour workday was a boiled potato and thin soup. Once back in the barracks, prisoners would receive a small portion of turnip soup. Doesn't sound like a lot of flavor to me. But the barracks became a spiritual sanctuary for the women living there. Corrie and Betsy led daily prayer sessions, giving their fellow prisoners the strength they needed to persevere through their ordeal. And there's a quote from the book, The Hiding Place. It's a short quote, but it says a whole lot. No pit is so deep that God is not deeper still. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Remember that there's freedom in Christ. So on this Memorial Day weekend, we do remember the sacrifices of those who have come before us to ensure that we could physically live free. If I could get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. But from day to day, every day, we remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and how we can live free from sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit enables us to love others, and that Spirit keeps us from deception and hate. Lots of things to remember today. And to appreciate, I appreciate the fact and remember that my father would honor the flag. And again, you know, people can get sideways about mistakes that the United States has made. We are certainly not perfect. There's no country that's ever been perfect. But I still feel the United States of America is the greatest country in the world, and we have freedom. And what I love is that God goes beyond that into our lives. And no matter what you're going through today, there's freedom available to you. Freedom that you may not even be aware of. A freedom that will take your hurts, your pain, your hopes, your dreams, a freedom that can only be found in Jesus Christ. I'd like everybody to bow their heads this morning, if you would. Just like to talk to the person here today who might be thinking, well, I'd like to have that kind of freedom. I don't really know what you're talking about. That'd be nice if that was true. I'm saying it is true. I'm saying the Bible is true. And if you're here today, but you would like to have that freedom in Christ and would like to know what it is, and you don't know what it is, without anybody looking around, I just want you to raise your hand. And I want to pray for you, just quietly. Anybody? Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, just want to pray for those that are here today that may not know you personally. And Lord, some of the things I talked about today, I know there's other sides to things. I know that. And because we as humans are perfect in the least. But Lord, you have given us your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, that we could live free. That we could live free. And that's the bottom line today. So Lord, I want to pray for anybody today, Lord God, that wants to know you personally, just to ask you into their life and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that he lived, he died, he rose again for me, and I accept him into my life because I want to be free. And Lord, that all of us today will have an appreciation for those that serve and those that have died for this country, that we could even meet today like this without fear of persecution. Thank you, Lord God. Help us to have an appreciation for that. And Lord, beyond that, a true appreciation of what you have done at the cross for our lives. We love you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. And boy, I wish I could join you guys today. I'm just hurting a little bit today. Why don't you sing your song?